Somi, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM, hands-on creative community radio for Greene and Columbia County.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, we're going to hear from some of the protesters outside of Representative Paul Tonko's office yesterday, who were protesting. They're part of the People versus Fossil Fuels campaign, urging President Joe Biden to declare a climate emergency. We'll hear what they had to say yesterday. We'll also hear more from the two candidates running for the New York 19 Congressional District, the new one next year. It's Jamie Chaney from Dutchess County and Josh Riley from out near Ithaca. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Our stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
On Saturday, August 6th, PS21 is putting on a show in Chatham's Crellin Park for Crellin Park Day. It's an interactive program called 846, a retelling of Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring. It's put on by the Jamal Jackson Dance Company, and it's at 3 p.m. on Saturday, August 6th in Crellin Park in Chatham. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. And you can also list your own events there to be read on the radio at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Daily Freeman reports that the city of Kingston declared a drought emergency on August 2nd with water restrictions. The water level at Cooper Lake Reservoir, the city's source of drinking water, is low. A little rain has fallen this summer in the Hudson Valley. The city is ordering all leaks be fixed and banned washing sidewalks, buildings, driveways, steps, or other outdoor areas, and washing of cars or other vehicles except at commercial vehicle washing operations that recycle 50% of the water used. Also, fountains, waterfalls, and reflecting pools that do not use recycled water must be turned off in Kingston, and watering of lawns, golf courses, and ornamental shrubs, plants, or trees is limited to between 9 and 10 p.m. Quote, with only a few months of water remaining in the reservoir, I urge our residents to do what they can to conserve water in the months ahead, unquote, said Mayor Steve Noble. The drought emergency announcement comes a few weeks after Kingston declared a drought alert on July 14th. The U.S. Drought Monitor reports that the Hudson Valley is currently abnormally dry.
Andrea Mako is reporting in Porcupine Soup that town of Cooksackie officials are taking legal action to close a massive tire dump there that they claim is not only illegal but also a public health hazard. Cooksackie filed in New York State Supreme Court against Green Tire Recycling, LLC, on July 5th. The tire dump is at 1113 and 1131 State Route 81 in Climax in Cooksackie and can be seen from the road. The lawsuit says that it is, and I quote, causing a disturbance with the subject property neighbors, severely and negatively impacting their lives and homes, and creating a public health hazard, end quote. The complaint says the tires started piling up in September 2020. Cooksackie says the tire dump violates New York State Property Maintenance Code, New York State Fire Code, Cooksackie Town Code, and Cooksackie Town Zoning Law. In February 2021, the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation cited one of the owners, Shane Forster, and I quote, for operating a tire handling facility without a permit, end quote. Cooksackie is asking the court for an order to, and I quote, permanently cease and desist the illegal uses of the property as a tire dump, junkyard, and or handling facility, end quote, and to clean up the property. State Supreme Court Justice Richard Mott gave Green Tire Recycling, LLC, and its owners until July 29 to respond to the town's claims. But court records show no response was submitted, and Mott has not yet ruled on the case. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup.
New York's Board of Election website says that, quote, voting for the August primary will take place August 13, 2022 to August 21, 2022. New York is a closed primary state, unquote. But that second sentence may not be true for this election. New York State of Politics reports that, quote, a loophole caused by redistricting litigation currently allows for already registered voters in New York to change their political affiliation up to and the day of the August 23rd primary, unquote. When the legislature redistricting plan was struck down earlier this year and new election dates set, a state Supreme Court judge set a new date, July 29th, for unregistered voters to register in person or postmark their registration for mail in order to vote in the primary. But the judge did not set a date to change party affiliation. So a registered voter could now go to their polling place during the voting period and ask for a form to change their affiliation and then vote in that primary election. But the story says, sources say State Supreme Court Justice Patrick McAllister, who issued the original redistricting decision, may close the loophole. But for now, the August 23rd primary is an open election. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Kate Lisa reports in Columbia Green Media that not only is Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro's car usage part of a countywide audit, but his election campaign has not filed the donation of a campaign vehicle from a longtime supporter with the U.S. Federal Elections Commission as required. Last September, Molinaro announced he is running for the 19th Congressional District seat. Molinaro's campaign rents a Jeep Grand Cherokee leased to Sean Mahoney for $35 per day. The Federal Elections Commission requires in-kind contributions to be reported once the contribution exceeds $200. It would take 6 days for Molinaro's car to cross that threshold, but Molinaro's campaign has not included the vehicle as an expense in its three required quarterly filings with the FEC since the campaign began September 21, 2021. Now Molinaro's campaign says the rental car contribution will be reported to the FEC in the next filing. According to a statement from Molinaro's campaign, and I quote, throughout the campaign, Mark has used either the donated vehicle or his personal car for all campaign-related events. The filing will be complete and in compliance with FEC guidelines by the pre-election filing deadline, August 11th, when the donor provides the campaign with all the necessary information that has been sought for several months, end quote. Molinaro's campaign would not say why it had not filed the contribution with the FEC until a reporter asked about the donation. Molinaro, a Republican, is going against Democrat Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan in an August 23rd election to fill the rest of Democrat Antonio Delgado's term in Congress. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
John Cropley reports for the Daily Gazette that all Amtrak service has been restored after emergency repairs to a decrepit Albany warehouse that had falling debris landing over the train tracks. Chunks of concrete fell off the building onto the elevated right-of-way that carries trains into northern Albany, with Amtrak halting service there July 29th. Contractors for the city of Albany removed a smokestack and loose concrete from the south-facing building facade near the tracks over the weekend and will reinforce the outer layer of the southern wall to the main structure. Quote, these actions have abated the threat to public safety and allowed Amtrak to restart train service across the Livingston Avenue rail bridge, unquote, said Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan. Read more about this story in the Daily Gazette.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that two polls released August 2nd show Democrat Kathy Hochul leading Republican Lee Zeldin in the election for governor. A Siena College poll has Hochul leading Zeldin 53% to 39%, while an Emerson College survey has Hochul with a 51% to Zeldin's 35%. Hochul is currently governor, having taken over after Andrew Cuomo resigned. Zeldin is a Long Island congressman who voted against certifying the 2020 presidential election results. In both polls, Hochul and Zeldin are virtually tied among men, but Hochul leads substantially among women. The Emerson College poll surveyed 1,000 likely voters from July 26 to July 28 with a 3 percentage point margin of error, while the Siena College poll questioned 805 likely voters from July 24th to July 28th with a margin of error of 3.5 percentage points. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, sunny with a high near 87 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 64 degrees. And on Thursday, scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be sunny and hot with a temperature high near 97 degrees. And Thursday night, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 69 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
On Wednesday, August 3rd, tune in all sorts of live local community radio at 90.7 FM. All kinds of local voices on. At 11 a.m., we're live from Accra with Mayuka Fujino and her Mirage Station show. At 4 p.m., the WGXC Afternoon Show beams in from Accra with all the latest local news, brand new music, and interviews and more. At 7 p.m., we're live from New York City in a simulcast with WBAI in Brooklyn, the Off the Hook Show from the Hacker Quarterly 2600 Talking Technology. At 8 p.m., we're live from Hudson with Rock and Roll High School with Peter McPartland and Anya Kanevskaya. At 10 p.m., we're live from Ulster County, the Snack Point Charlie Jeff Economy Show with new music and more. And then at midnight, we're live from Ulster County again for 2 hours with Peter Aaron's Go Go Kitty Show, simulcast from Radio Kingston in Ulster County and on WGXC and WGXC.org.
get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
American jazz legend Joe Morris is coming to Opus 40 Sunday, August 28th, performing there in Saugerties from 3 to 5 p.m. with Brandon Lopez also on the bill. Joe Morris is a renowned American jazz guitarist based in New York City. This is a rare chance for local audience to see him. Sunday, August 28th at Opus 40 in Saugerties from 3 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. Where you can add your own events to have them read on the radio by pressing the Add an Event button, WGXC.org in the community calendar.
I saw your Volkswagen thing from across the street while I was getting a rhubarb smoothie. Oh yeah, these smoothies are great. They're loaded with important phytochemicals to combat the free radicals floating around in your body, causing you to make bad decisions, like buying that Volkswagen thing. Oh, good burn, man. You seem really cool. Yeah, I guess you could say I've been dulling the cutting edge for years. So I was wondering if you could tell me where the raddest swimming spots are. Me and my girlfriend Olestra burning up in this man-made heat dome. Oh, rad, man. Yeah, me and my girlfriend Topiary, we're just gonna head over there. Oh, snap, my man. What are the GPs? That's like a way of saying GPS without really saying it. Well, we could tell you the DDs, but then we would have to kill you. Oh, hilarious, Pierce Brosnan. No, seriously, we would stuff you in the trunk of our 1968 Toyota Land Cruiser, and you would probably suffocate, and then you would be unable to swim. Massive bummer. Well, would you have the 411 on a poorly ventilated pavilion with a band playing awkward versions of old Southern rock songs? My dude, I have just the spot for you. Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night at 10 p.m., only on WGXC and WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, August 3rd, and I hope everyone's AC is in good working order. We wake up in nice sleeping weather this morning, 58 degrees in Ashland, 64 over in Athens. Soil is 70 degrees. Heat warnings are out for the area. A high temperature of 88 is expected at 4 p.m., coupled with a moderate dew point in the low 60s, should keep things manageable for those outside. Just make sure you stay hydrated and out of the sun. Overnight, comfortable temperatures return around 11 p.m. Then we see a low of 66 before a very hot Thursday. More heat warnings will be issued and a high of 99 happens at 4 p.m. Shortly afterward, expect all that intense atmospheric energy to dissipate in the form of storms that will end near midnight. A very muggy 72 degrees overnight takes us into a stormy Friday with more heat warnings and a high of 90 degrees. Humid storms roll on through into Saturday with a high of 86. Sunday, we get a brief break in storm chances Sunday morning, then a wet afternoon with a high of 92. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 1:23 a.m., high tide at 6:59 a.m., low tide again at 1:46 p.m., and high tide once again at 7:52 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 81 degrees. Sunset today will be at 8 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:47 a.m. Looking way up, we see sunspot AR3068 is facing Earth and getting grumpy, with a 10% chance for M-class flares and 35% chance for C-class flares today. Solar wind speed is currently 525.6 kilometers per second at 8.2 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible until dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 25. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Moore of Copake, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxe.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Got questions about technology, cybersecurity? Whether it's a remote car starter or jellyfish, try your luck at stumping our panel on the Thingularity radio program. Just send your questions to catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com. That is catskillmakersinfo@gmail.com. And one of our many interns will be electroshocked into inducing an answer for your listening pleasure. Listen to the Thingularity radio program every first Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM or anytime at wgxc.org.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Elections have consequences. We've seen that front and center, whether it is around keeping our kids safe in schools or efforts to limit our carbon footprint.
That's Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She'll face Trump-backed Tudor Dixon in November, as both won their party's primaries on Tuesday. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt won the state's Republican nomination for Senate in Missouri over disgraced former Governor Eric Greitens. In Kansas, voters decided against allowing the state constitution to be amended to remove a protected right to abortion. Also, incumbent Laura Kelly took the Democratic nomination for governor, while Derek Schmidt got the Republican nod. And for U.S. Senate, incumbent Republican Jerry Moran will face Democrat Mark Holland. Endorsements split the Republican primary for Arizona governor, with Mike Pence-backed Karen Taylor Robeson facing Trump-endorsed candidate Carrie Lake.
I do love President Trump. I will be fighting along with him to make sure we save America.
Trump also backed venture capitalist Blake Masters to face Democratic Senator Mark Kelly in the fall. In other election news, Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled the state's mail-in voting law is constitutional. The bipartisan 2019 law came under scrutiny by Republicans in the wake of the 2020 election. Legislation that could provide new health care and disability benefits to millions of veterans is headed to the White House. After Senate lawmakers passed the PACT Act with a strong bipartisan vote, bill's sponsor, Senator John Tester of Montana, said it's long overdue.
We set out with a clear goal to right the wrongs of decades of inaction and failure by us, the United States government, to provide all eras of toxic-exposed veterans of VA care and benefits that they have earned.
U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is in Taiwan, the highest-level U.S. official to visit the island in 25 years. Pelosi said the visit honors America's commitment to supporting Taiwan's democracy. In response, China's military announced plans for live-fire drills that would appear to infringe on Taiwan's territorial waters. Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell spoke out against those who discouraged the trip.
I believe she has every right to go, and it's been unseemly and counterproductive for President Biden and his aides to have publicly sought to deter her from doing so.
Back in D.C., senators will mark up legislation today to authorize billions of dollars in defense aid for Taiwan. The Department of Justice is challenging Idaho's abortion law, the first major action against a state trigger law since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Attorney General Merrick Garland says it conflicts with a federal law.
This has really nothing to do with anything that the Supreme Court said, and certainly nothing to do with going around the Supreme Court.
In-court filings reveal the Pentagon wiped the phones of Pentagon officials at the end of the Trump administration. A watchdog group is seeking the records from people viewed as crucial witnesses to the government's response to the January 6th Capitol attack. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We have another episode in Tinfoil Hat Week here on the American Democracy Minute. Earlier, we reported that Dominion Voting Systems machines were falsely alleged to be part of the widespread 2020 election fraud scheme. Yet we're still hearing about these conspiracies. Dominion and other suppliers of voting technology make different kinds of systems, but the most widely used are optical ballot tabulating machines. Such machines read the oval dots you make on ballots when selecting a candidate and read the ballots faster and more accurately than humans. But conspiracy theorists cling to assertions that Dominion tabulators were programmed to switch votes, that parts of the machine could be swapped out to give false vote totals, that Sharpie markers invalidated votes, and even that the Chinese and Venezuelan governments hacked them to alter the result. None of these were true. In Antrim County, Michigan, the Michigan Secretary of State investigated claims of inaccurate totals, which turned out not to be the tabulators, but human error in not updating the reporting software. In New Hampshire, the Secretary of State's office made the decision to fold absentee ballots to save money on postage instead of mailing the ballots flat. And in Windham, the optical readers misread the bubbles which fell in the crease, skewing the count. Conspiracy theories are still being used as arguments to erode confidence in the election. elections and as a pretext for passing more barriers to voting around the United States. More at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Yesterday in your community, there were all sorts of local events, and WGXC has audio of some of them.
Last night.
Yesterday.
The day before yesterday.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On Tuesday, August 2nd, the 1,400 climate groups that are part of the People vs. Fossil Fuels campaign demonstrated across the country to urge President Biden to declare a climate emergency, halt new fossil fuels, and issue a series of executive orders, for instance, climatepresident.org. Groups have identified dozens of specific executive action Biden should take to prevent climate chaos and fossil fuel racism and improve the well-being of millions of people. In the first part of our coverage of the rally held in Albany, we hear first from myself, Mark Dunley, speaking on behalf of PAWS, the local 350.org affiliate, followed by Bob Cohen of Citizen Action, and then Alicia Bacon of Mothers Out Front.
Good afternoon, everybody. On behalf of People versus Fossil Fuels, I want to welcome you here today. We are calling as part of a national day of action for President Biden to declare a climate emergency and to take executive actions to effectively work on climate. ClimatePresident.org has probably laid out about 70 different executive actions that the president can take without the need to get approval from Congress. This week, for instance, here in Albany, we're going to experience the 18th day so far this summer with the temperatures above 90 degrees. That's 50% above what is normal, and we still have, you know, a month or 2 months to go. 2 weeks ago, President Biden came very close to declaring a climate emergency. It was sort of announced in the press, and then at the last moment, he bailed out, saying, well, because I've been in office for 30, 35 years, I haven't had enough time to study this issue, so let's rethink this. We need the president to act. Every day there is more extreme weather taking place all across the planet, whether it's floods in Kentucky or wildfires out in California or heat waves throughout Europe and much of the United States. Recently, it was estimated that we now have less than 7 years of a carbon budget left. That means at the present rate that we are going through carbon emissions, which continues to increase worldwide, within 7 years we'll pass the point of trying to keep global warming below 1.5 degrees, which is what the IPCC in the United Nations says is needed in order to avoid climate collapse. There are more than 1,400 organizations in People versus Fossil Fuels. They should do everything from stopping new fossil fuels. President Biden needs to comply with his promise not to put more leases on public land for fossil fuels. In fact, he's given more leases for fossil fuels on public lands than any president in history. And there's other things he could do, such as once he declares a climate emergency, we'd have the power actually to redirect part of the military budget to build out renewable energy. So we'll be hearing a lot more about this. I should say there are a lot of different groups locally who've endorsed this particular thing. Citizen Action, Mothers Out Front, Rivers and Mountains, Green Face Circle, Capitalist Solidarity, Women Against War, Albany County, League of Women Voters, and others. I'm undoubtedly Upper Hudson, Green Party, People's Climate Movement. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to Bob Cohen from Citizen Action.
Citizen Action is an activist grassroots organization that advocates for social, racial, and economic and environmental justice. We're involved in numerous climate activities in New York State and also nationally. I think Mark put it really well in talking about the climate crisis. I like to tell people that we're all focused on statistics when we talk about the crisis and numbers, and I think that that's important. What I also try to tell people is, if you want to learn about the climate crisis, just read the newspaper. Look at the weather reports today, this week. Saturday, we had the McKinney Fire in California. I know it's pretty far away. I happened to have been in California a few days ago for my daughter's wedding. 50,000 acres as of Sunday were consumed by this fire, and there's a kind of annoying, frustrating sameness about this. Every year we hear a new statistic: the most number of fires on record, the worst number of acres consumed in the West Coast. But we have to remember that this has been going around a long time, although it's getting worse, and its impact in New York. New York last year, Hurricane Ida, 40 people died, many in their basement. Drowning, it has an impact. Upstate New York, we were impacted by Hurricane Irene, which devastated a large swath of upstate New York, mostly west of the Capital District. We need to take action. It's sort of like the gun, you know, the gunfight where everybody says hopes and prayers or thoughts and prayers. We don't need thoughts and prayers. We need action on all levels by government. We have the state, New York State, taking action. That's very important. We have Congress hopefully passing a climate bill, not as strong as we'd like it to be, that will take some steps. But that does not mean that Joe Biden shouldn't take this action, because we have to do something, actions befitting this emergency. It really is an emergency. When World War II started, Roosevelt, FDR, Congress passed laws to allow him to take immediate action. Governor Cuomo took immediate action. When it comes to the COVID crisis, there are certain existential things that are incredibly important to do. And if climate isn't one of them, I don't know what that would be. So I would join in the call and people nationwide for calling for a climate emergency in the United States. We need Biden to be up to the task. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Our next speaker is Alicia Bacon, who is with Mothers Out Front.
So our climate has always been changing, and those changes have caused massive extinction events. Humanity sits at a crossroads as a species that can decide its fate. The question is, are we willing to evolve? But first, we must admit our consumption is a problem. We live in an extractive economy that lends to copious amounts of waste. This excessive waste is doing irreparable harm to people, but it's causing a dramatic increase in extreme weather. All over the world, our communities have paid the price. Fellow students of history understand that we sow, we reap. And there is a direct line between America's brutal founding that killed and displaced indigenous peoples and tortured, enslaved, kidnapped Africans. There is not a single person who comes from a vacuum. This history is all of ours. And so part of moving forward is owning that legacy and being dedicated to a more equitable future. Not one where success is limited, but where a future where success is accessible. When it comes to addressing the climate crisis, the IRA is an important first step, and we are grateful to Senators Manchin and Schumer, but we already know that there is much more to do to prepare our communities to be resilient. That means changing how we live from how we structure our societies and building the infrastructure to withstand and survive the climate chaos we have wrought. But also, it requires us to be different and to be better. The injustice that exists in our society at the moment is unacceptable. Our parks are filling up with homeless people and our streets with panhandlers. People are suffering from our individualistic mindset that it's illogical to care about others. However, we are deeply connected. There is no scarcity, only resource mismanagement. America simultaneously has tremendous food waste while also having increasing hunger and demand in food banks. We all benefit when our neighbors thrive. It's time to reimagine our cities to include everyone. We need basic human rights like housing and health care for all, and restorative justice. It's clear that the way we've been doing things isn't working, but we need total transformation, which starts from within. Everyone must be civically engaged. That means voting, volunteering for positions like poll workers, and running for office, as well as actively fighting against mis- and disinformation and fascism. The stakes are high, but we are in this together. We're here today to call on President Biden to do more, but our responsibilities continue even after this rally ends. It will take a sustained movement to get us to the next level and meet the goals of the CLCPA. So to Representative Tonko, we ask that you use the full force of your office and power to persuade your colleagues to act with urgency and with haste. And to President Biden, we say it's time for action now. Please declare a climate emergency.
People of color, but particularly low-income people, both in the United States and the world, who really bear the brunt. We will later in a little bit hear a little bit from labor and about the need for just transition.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This is Signals from C. Feel on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
21 counties in New York State are under a drought watch, which could be the norm as climate change heats up the planet. According to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, a drought watch is the least severe on the drought monitoring scale. For now, public water suppliers start conserving water and urge people to reduce their water use. The National Integrated Drought Information System classifies this as a moderate drought. Sylvia Reeves, the system's Northeast Regional Drought Information Coordinator, says these pop-up droughts have been typical in the last 2 years in the entire Northeast.
We've seen more frequent drought events that have lasted anywhere from 6 months to a little over a year, and those events typically have come on in what we call a flashy form, rapid onset of drought condition and rapid intensification.
Reeves adds if several different indicators of groundwater, surface water, and wells don't change, drought conditions could be upgraded to severe. That's what New York faced in summer and mid-fall of 2020. These conditions aren't generally bad enough to cause wildfires, but grass and brush fires could be forces to contend with. During droughts, it isn't just about needing water for small things, like brushing your teeth or doing laundry. It's about making sure vital crops are irrigated thoroughly and having a decent supply of groundwater. As weather gets more extreme, droughts could be more prolonged, says Allison Branco, who works on climate adaptation issues for the Nature Conservancy of Long Island.
What we're going to see is not a huge change in the overall amount of rain we receive, a little increase, but not a ton, but it's going to come in less frequent, more severe bursts, like big heavy storms, and not so much like that slow, steady rain.
She adds there could be periods of droughts between rain events, but groundwater sources won't be able to replenish as quickly. Branco, a Long Island resident, feels the infrastructure to pump groundwater isn't equipped to meet the high demands a drought would create. However, she says, New York is not at risk of the kinds of lengthy droughts seen in California and other western states. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Yeah.
Thank you.